This message was recorded at Leeds Vineyard during a Sunday morning service. Please feel free to copy it or forward it if it's helpful. We pray that it may be God's word in season for you today.
This morning, I will be continuing our Encounters with Jesus theme. My focus is on encountering Jesus, as people who find ourselves like prone to worry, anxious thoughts, and comparison with others. Whether we're a follower of Jesus or not, we can recognise those areas of our lives where we're all prone to obsessively worry. And what one person will worry about is different to what another will worry about, but we all worry. The title of my talk is Thriving in Challenge and Loss, Martha's Story. In my opinion, Martha is underrated and often dismissed. A Bible character. She's dismissed by both men and women. She's been portrayed as a stereotypical kind of female busybody, fussing over trivial matters and lesser to her sister Mary. But there is so much more we can all learn from her story. So let's turn to John 12:1-3. We'll begin with the story of Martha at the end of Jesus's ministry and life. So John 12:1-3, 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Here a dinner was given in honor of Jesus. Martha served while Lazarus was amongst those reclining at the table with him. Then Mary took about a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume. She poured it on Jesus's feet and wiped it with her hair. And then the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. The context is one of worship. And it would be easy to think Mary was the only one who had an expression of worship. I haven't time to fully explore this now, but we will dig deeper into this at the study tonight. But I can say we find the Greek word for served, Martha served, is, and you have to bear with my pronunciation, is diakonai. The word comes from diakonos, the word we get deacon from. Diakonai means to be an attendant, someone who serves, in the sense of someone who serves as an oversight of others. It was a position of trust and of status. So in other words, we see Martha waiting upon others in a ministerial way, overseeing and ensuring everyone's well-being. Martha's role was not merely a hostess, but an entrusted ministering servant. If you don't know the character of Martha, it may be easy to miss the significance of her status: esteemed, trusted, honoured. There is a Quaker saying, let your life speak. What it means is let the way you live your life convince people of the transformative power of an encounter with Jesus. Let others observe the impact of your faith. Take the tree in this image. It is a bonsai tree growing on the edge of the Grand Canyon. On the surface, it doesn't seem possible for this tree to thrive and grow. It is literally growing out of a rock face on a dry, barren, exposed outcrop, and yet it is still thriving. It has green leaves, arching boughs, where birds and passers-by can take some shade. The roots of the tree are super strong, growing down into the deep crevices of the rock to find water and moisture trapped there. Amazing. So how are we doing? We have been living in a strange world of isolation, social distancing, and endless uncertainty. It has been undoubtedly challenging, and many of us have suffered multiple losses, whether it be dwindling income, exams not taken, celebrations cancelled, mental health deteriorating, or even having loved ones die before we even got a chance to say goodbye. So in this unconducive, dry, barren, and exposed landscape, how do we thrive in faith and relationship with God? Where are we letting our lives speak of an encounter of Jesus? So let's take some lessons from Martha. If you turn to Luke 10:38-42, If you know of Martha, this is probably the story you are most familiar with, and the reason Martha has such a bad rep. So let's read it together. Luke 10, verse 38, at the home of Mary and Martha. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work for myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." We have often been taught that Martha was too busy in her work to recognize the importance of Jesus. However, Jesus highlights that she is worried and upset about many things. It says Martha was distracted by all the preparations. How many of us know that when we have an underlying stress, suddenly the task in hand seems so much more than tense and more difficult? We have a habit of displacing our underlying fears and worry onto someone or something else. I know when I'm guilty of it, because others start to take a wide berth while I complete a task, knowing they may need to duck a distracted criticism or a complaint. You see, we see it all the time when people are under stress, worrying and upset. They seem to blame shift onto other trivial things that don't really matter. Jesus sees right through this and calls out the issue. Martha is worried and upset about many things. You can bet the most significant thing she was worried about was her sister's reputation, and in turn her own. In Palestine at that time, women were not to sit at men's feet or even in the same room as them, especially if they were not family. Mary sitting at Jesus' feet could easily have been viewed as acting as a prostitute. You can see why Martha was stressed. So Martha has been told that her worry is unfounded and that Mary is doing the right thing. You can imagine the scene. Everyone's head turning. Martha's head spinning as her understanding of the world is turned upside down, and in a few words, and suddenly all the future seems uncertain and unpredictable. Most of us don't take kindly to these kind of challenges. Would any of us respond well to publicly being told our worry and upset is wrong, and what we should be doing is sitting at Jesus' feet, encountering him face to face? Take a moment. What about right now? What is your worry? Your upset? If our senior pastor, David, were to say to you, "You are worried and upset about many things. You only need to do one thing, to sit at Jesus' feet like Sally," how would you respond? Suddenly, we are all in Martha's shoes, and how we respond to the challenge of our exposed wrong thinking, negativity, the comparison and uncertainty will dictate what happens next in our lives. I'm fascinated. We don't hear of Martha sulking, refusing to serve or withdrawing from relationship. In fact, let's jump forward to John 11 and pick up Martha's story here. So in this situation, Martha and Mary's brother, Lazarus, has fallen dangerously ill, and they send word to Jesus to come and help him. However, Jesus didn't go straight away and delayed a further 2 days before making the journey to Bethany, where the family lived. So let's turn John 11, starting at verse 17. Jesus comforts the sisters of Lazarus. On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now, Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, "if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha answered, "And no, he will rise in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives in by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this?" "Yes, Lord," she replied. "I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who came into the world." "Come again? Is this the Martha we saw before in her mourning? Is she not stressing about preparations?" "No, she's not. We see a woman full of expectant faith rushing out to meet Jesus before he got to their house. Martha tells Jesus that Lazarus is dead, but even now she knows he can bring change by asking God. Jesus confirms Martha's expectancy and dependency in him is not wasted and that Lazarus will rise from the dead. It seems Martha may have been fully aware of the kingdom now and not yet, as she seeks some clarity of when Jesus means this will happen, as in heaven or now. Sometimes we see miracles and sometimes we don't. If you're not a follower of Jesus, then maybe you don't believe in miracles and are confused when you hear Jesus reportedly say, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. I'd encourage you to invite Jesus to encounter you like Martha, to take away your worry and upset. Ask him to show you who he really is. Invite him to come and make a change in your life. Martha was able to boldly declare, "I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God who is to come into the world." I'd encourage you to read the rest of the story as Lazarus gets healed, and there's this little awkward moment when Martha starts to worry about the smell of the body. So what can we learn from Martha when her world is tipped upside down and her brother was laid dead in a tomb? How did Martha respond in the challenge and loss that enabled her to thrive, using her ministry of serving to honour and bless Jesus and others with gratitude? Martha was obedient and teachable. She gave up her worry and her upset. Martha put her confidence in Jesus and who he said he was. She put her total dependency and expectancy in Jesus, and in so doing, worshipped him with her life and her service. Martha was faithful and servant-hearted, expressing gratitude to Jesus by ministering to others. Martha served. She let her life speak. How are we letting our lives speak despite the potential barrenness of our circumstances? Who or what are we rooted in? So let's take a moment to ask ourselves these questions. Our circumstances are different to Martha's, but just like her, our world as we know it has turned on its head. We are in some ways isolated and alienated, mourning losses, and uncertain about the future. But we can thrive if we will encounter Jesus. As I was preparing for this talk, I just really sensed that many of us are worried and upset about many things. And I just really want to invite you now to take a moment to acknowledge those things before Jesus. So I'd encourage you, in the place where you might want to stand, kneel, you might want to have somebody put a hand on you if there's somebody in the room with you. But just raise your hand and close your eyes and surrender and yield. Holy Spirit, come. We acknowledge we are worried and upset about many things. We ask your Holy Spirit to come in all its gentleness and all its grace and mercy. And we want to give in exchange for worry and upset your peace, Jesus. We want to give over our worry and upset and receive your peace. Receive your hope. And receive your love. We long to encounter you, Jesus. Amen.